know, there's so much I love about this day. One is just the reminder that when we say that people become disciples of Jesus, what we really mean is that we're teeing up Christian leaders for the world that is to come. And today is a great example of that. Even in that scripture reading, we're trying to hand this thing off and spread a message of hope. And today certainly is that. It is a great big exclamation point on that message of hope, the symbolism of baptism, that we are we die with Christ and then we come to new life is the thing that we're going to talk about today. And that's why we chose that scripture, which I'll get to in a second. But I had to think, as we were listening to it, we heard also the part about the wind blows where it will. And we kind of found that out this weekend too, didn't we? A little bit hits a little different than we might have expected when we planned to read that scripture so many weeks ago. And during the Little Angels attic sale, one of the things that happened was those doors out in the atrium, the wind sucked them open and then ripped one of those great big glass doors off. And that's why when you came in this morning, there's a great big X across the welcome of, you know, the church. Like, hey, we're glad you're here. Don't come in here. Sort of a little bit of a struggle living into our values, so to speak. But there was a lot that went on. There were people that could have been seriously hurt in our congregation that weren't, as trees fell and as structures fell. And so we know a lot of people have been affected in lots of different ways. And we have some of our folks still without power. Somebody texted me this morning, giving away food out of their freezer. So it just affects us in a lot of different ways. So I'm glad you're here. Affected our confirmation students. They weren't able to go on their confirmation retreat, which is a big bummer. But they did have their special send-off service last night, in which they were anointed with oil and they had their feet washed as they entered into that Christian leadership of servant leadership of in the way of Jesus. Confirmation Sunday gives us a chance to talk about some things that apply to these guys, but also to all of us. And that's the dynamic I love about this day. We're going to overhear the gospel in a couple different ways. Spoken over them, spoken to Nicodemus, and find that we're drawn up into that as we think about what it means to have life, spiritual life, new life, to be born into that life. As I got to think about that this week, I thought about this document. It is, can y'all see this? This is my birth certificate. I'm curious, how many of you brought your birth certificate with you this morning? I didn't think, not very many, no. And we don't, I'll talk about why in a second. But you know, as you look at this document, there are times that you do need it. There are times when you have to get your driver's license one day, or maybe your passport, or you know, kind of different things that kind of prove some things that are true about you. But it does say a few things that are pretty important. It says where I was born. I was born in Davis County, Kentucky. And it says my name, Adam Eugene Schurz. Now, let me tell you a little inside thing. I like my first name. I always have. I can't tell you why. I just like it. My last name connects me to a lot of people that I love, and so that's awesome. Not always been so fond of Eugene, if I'm honest. But as you look down a little further, you see my mom and my dad's name, and my dad's middle name is Eugene, too. So I've been proud of that name, even though it's not like my favorites. People ask, sometimes I just put my middle initial and they're like, what's your middle name? And I say, Enrique. It just sounds a little more exciting. It says that I'm a male. It says that, it says what my birthday is. December 1st, 1976. You can mark that down. And, you know, just really some important stuff that's there. We all have a birth certificate, but chances are you didn't bring it with you when you came this morning, and there's a reason. It's because the surest proof that you're alive is not on a sheet of paper, right? You don't usually have to justify your existence in the normal course of living. It's not like you go to a workshop or a meeting or a conference and you're signing out that little my name is sticker and putting it on, and the person at the table goes, yeah, we're gonna have to see some documentation. No, generally when you say your name, people believe it. They don't have to see it on a sheet of paper. And generally when you say, this is my birthday, whatever it is, people believe you. You don't have to show your document to the people at Elmas. They're gonna bring the sombrero out. They're gonna sing. They don't have to have the paperwork. And most importantly, and that's all kind of a piece of a bigger thing, which is like, we don't have to prove our existence. We don't walk around and say in normal kind of course of life, hey, I exist. I'm alive, and I have the paper to prove it. We don't have to do that because people see it in us. They see that life exhibited in different ways. We live and we breathe. And that's because your birth certificate, well, there's a lot that it doesn't say about you. So we think about what it means to have life and live into the life, regular life, physical life, and spiritual life. There's a starting point, and today is a lot about that starting point for some of us. But then there's the rest of it. Think about all the things that your birth certificate cannot say about you. It doesn't say maybe even where you live. For example, I was born in Davis County, Kentucky, in Owensboro. And then 2 or 3 days later, my parents took me back across the river to the promised land, and that's where they raised me, in Indiana. And my birth certificate doesn't tell you that. It doesn't tell you about a million daily things that have happened to me in my life. It doesn't do the same for you. It doesn't say the major events of your life. It doesn't talk about the people that are important to you. It doesn't talk about how important you are and what you mean to other people. And it doesn't tell you the quality of life that you have. It can't do that. And it would be silly to think that you could get that on a piece of paper. The piece of paper is the starting point. It is the mark of a beginning. That's what it means to be born. It is the starting point, the start of a beginning, and then the living out of almost unimaginable possibility. When I was a kid, one of the songs that we sang in Vacation Bible School was "I Am a Promise." I wonder if any of you who are a little bit older than others sang this song, "I'm a Promise." I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to tell you it. I am a promise. I am a possibility. Somebody's rocking it out over here. I am a great big bundle of potentiality. How many of you sang that song? Y'all even know what potentiality means? We didn't either, but we sang it, right? And that's what we're talking about. The life that is being offered to us is all kinds of potentiality. It's all kinds of promise. And in fact, it is a quality of life that Jesus is making available. And that's the announcement. That's the conversation that we overheard in John 3, that Jesus is making a quality of life available to us that really can't be kind of written down. It is something that we show just by living. And so Jesus says that our spiritual lives are like that, like being born again. Or literally, that could be translated a couple ways, and Jesus probably meant both. It's like being born again or like being born from above. But the point is that there is a physical birth and there is a spiritual birth, and they have some similarities. It is like starting over with a new identity. It is a starting over with new relationships. It is a starting over, a beginning of new potential, purpose, finding out why we're here and what it means, the meaning of life is, and why God has us here. And then all of that possibility that comes with it. That spiritual birth is really about possibility. Pastor Wayne, who passed away a few years ago, literally his favorite word was possibility. And he said it in an Alabama accent, which made it sound even more special, possibility. And that's what Jesus is pointing to. It's like starting over in the good way with new categories, because the old ones won't do. They're not enough. In other words, what Jesus is saying that the spiritual life is not is just an addition to the categories and the identity and the life and the possibility that we have physically. That Jesus isn't a math problem, that is addition. Well, we had some things going on pretty good already. We add Jesus to that and equals awesome. I've got tape up here. I'm supposed to, they're trying to keep me contained. I just walked out of that guy, sorry. We're proclaiming God's complete freedom, and they got me I've got to stay in a box. Keeps me on video. Hi guys, sorry. See on video. Where was I? The equation's not math. It's not like we just add Jesus to our lives and he makes life a little bit better. No, the good news is something much more special than that. Jesus begins to reshape every part of us. He helps us know who we really were in the first place because we didn't really know. And he gives us purpose that clarifies why we're here because we never would have figured it out on our own. And the possibility that he brings into our lives is not just a little addition to what would have been okay anyway. It is almost infinite possibility because God's grace is at work in our lives. Now that sounds like better news, doesn't it? That's like something to get excited about. That sounds like good news. And that's what Jesus means when he talks about life. This is in this conversation in John 3 where we find the famous words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life." That word eternal life does not mean the life that begins with God after we die. It means the life of God that begins now through Jesus. Let me say that again. When we say eternal life, Jesus did not mean eternal life, that life that starts after we die. Though I believe that we live with God forever. That's not what he means here. What he means is the life of God, the life of eternity. Eternal life means the life of eternity that is being made accessible to people who can be born into that life in this world, in their very lives, as they are, as ordinary people, wherever they are, in whatever time they live. And that's the thing that we baptize people into. That kind of possibility. That kind of life. Life like being born again, like being born from above. Dallas Willard says this, I love this, eternity is now in session in your life. And that is what Jesus makes available. And so Jesus says it's like being born of water and the Spirit, because Nicodemus, as we hear this conversation play out, he doesn't get it. He's like, it's being born physically, but also spiritually, and it's both things. Being born again and being born from above. And so our birth certificate tells us, where I put it, don't lose that. Our birth certificate tells us our name, but our spiritual birth tells us who we really are. And our birth certificate says something about our parents, but then we discover also that we have a heavenly father. And our birth certificate tells us that we have a start, and our spiritual start gives us into all kinds of possibility. Not to prove that we are physically alive, but that we might have life to the full. This is what it means to be born again. We hear all this in a conversation between Jesus and a leader who struggled to understand where Jesus fit into his previous categories. Now, let's stop for a second. What do you think we're going to say about Nicodemus, who comes to try to figure out where Jesus fits into the things he already understands? Well, it's not going to work, is it? And this is an important part of the story. It's the part maybe for some of us who are a little further along in this deal. If you think about it, the primary way that we have probably heard this scripture talked about is taken out of context. The idea of being born again is probably not that new of an idea to some of us. It's been used a lot. And we use it primarily to refer to people who are spiritual outsiders and their need to be born into the life that Jesus has. And it's actually a good application. We all need that. That's kind of the point. But the context is actually something different, isn't it? It is of a religious insider who doesn't get it, who needs to understand that Jesus is not going to fit into the categories that he brings. And that's the tension. Nicodemus comes in, and the first thing that Nicodemus says to Jesus is this in John 3:1. As he's speaking to Jesus, a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council, came to Jesus at night, which in the Gospel of John always has some kind of negative connotation, like some lack of awareness. Maybe that he's afraid, or maybe he just doesn't get it, which is what kind of plays out. He calls Jesus by a respectful name, teacher, rabbi. We know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you're doing if God were not with him. Somehow he's seen Jesus, and he says, okay, you've got to fit somewhere. And Nicodemus thinks that's a good place to start. In fact, he comes and he says, what are the first two words that he says? Rabbi, we know. Who's the we, by the way? Is it like the mouse in his pocket? There's just him there in the dark talking to Jesus. It's the royal we know. what we think, of course, that means is that he's speaking for his whole community. He is a leader. And so why wouldn't a leader in the community come to Jesus and kind of say, well, we know some things. But that's the very point where Jesus starts to reset him. That's where Nicodemus sort of misses it. Jesus is essentially saying, you kind of don't know. And it would be better for you to recognize that you can't fit me into the buckets that you already have. I want to give you new buckets. And that's actually pretty hard for those of us who kind of build some experiences, to have to give up some of what we know to gain something else, that we have to give up control. And that's why Jesus actually talks about the wind that blows where it will. Like, you can't control, this new life that we're talking about, it's not something that you can control. The wind, this is the way he talks about it, it goes where it will. People don't know where it's going. You can't see where it's come from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who has been born of the Spirit. The message is, hey, this is going to really reorient your whole life. And that's good news, but sometimes we hear it as challenging news. Sometimes we hear it as scary news because we feel like we're going to lose some things. We're going to have to give up control. We're going to have to give up things that we hold dear. But Jesus, in his honesty to Nicodemus, says, it is actually not like the thing that you think it is. It's something better. You are going to lose control. You're going to lose your categories. It's going to get turned upside down. And it's going to be like you're being born again. And that birth is painful. And it is very, very, very good. You know, it's easy to be hard on Nicodemus in this story because he kind of comes in the cloak of darkness. But the truth is, we all sort of need to hear what Jesus was saying to him, all of us. And whether we are a religious insider or a religious outsider, all of us have been told some things about ourselves that aren't true, and we can't really put it back together. Jesus has to kind of take us down to who we really are and then build us back up, and that's like what it means to be born from above. And all of us have relationships that are all kinds of messed up. And so what happens is not just a little tweaking of all your relationships, but what happens is God comes into your core relationship, your relationship with him, and brings forgiveness and reconciliation, and then works out every other relationship from there. You can't just add Jesus to it. It has to be kind of that. It has to go to the middle and then be a reorientation of every one of your relationships. And that doesn't just happen at once. It's something that we live into because the birth thing happens and then we have to live into that possibility. It's sort of like when you renovate a house, right? You do one thing and then it's like, oh gosh, now I need to do this. And you know, sort of everything gets reoriented around what you did originally. That new thing changes everything. And that's the way it works in our spiritual life. And all of us struggle to know our meaning and our purpose, why we are here, and whether it matters. And so the life that Jesus has for us will never fit into our preconceived notion of what is possible. That's really the message to Nicodemus and to us. The life that Jesus has for you won't fit into your preconceived notion of what's possible. And that's a good thing. One final thing about what it means to be born, which sounds simple enough. But in their world, in the world of Palestine at the time, it probably did mean something a little different to them than it would to us. Not just in that you have life, but birth had significant implications about the rest of your life. In truth, your birth certificate then, which they didn't have, would actually tell you a lot of things that don't change. Whose family you were born into would tell you your status, your station in life, your inheritance. If you were first born, it meant one thing. If you were second, it was another. And really, your occupation, probably. Very likely, whatever your family did, you did. You were kind of locked in. We who were born into this idea of all these rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they didn't have that. To be born kind of meant significant things about the rest of your life, and you could figure it out right there at the beginning. And so being born from above, being born again, being born as a child of God in the same way means a complete reorientation. of everything about you, your station, your social relationships, your possibility, your purpose. And that confirmance is what we want you to hear today. The whole process up to this point of all your classes and your conversations and your confirmation mentors and your parents' class and your parent conversations and the service last night and the service today, all of that is to just set us up to say this, which is that there is life to the full being offered to you, the life of eternity that begins now. And we see all of that possibility, all of that potential, because we know Jesus is offering it to you. And we want nothing more than for you to live into that. We were around when some of you were born. I was around when some of you were born. Some of you, I went to the hospital and placed my hands on you and prayed over you when you were born. And we prayed about God's hand to guide you all your days and for the Holy Spirit to help you. And it was a recognition of how precious you were and what possibility you have. Today's kind of like that too. We see your potential. And we don't know where life is going to take you, but we do know that the decisions you make and God's hand in your life, God's work in your life, will define the rest of your life. And wherever you go, he's going to be with you. And wherever you go, we're going to be with you. And wherever he goes, wherever you go, it's going to be good. He has good things in store for you. And we're excited about that. And we recognize that there are a lot of messages out there about saying to you who you really are. There are a lot of mixed messages. And so we hope that you will hear in this and get a sense of actually who you really, really are as God's child, as a son or daughter of God. And we hope this will change all of your relationships and it will give you a sense of purpose so that whatever you do, it'll be an offering to God and it'll be a display of his goodness to the world. We, as your church family, are so excited to be a part of this with you about your new spiritual life. We have no idea where God's going to take you. The wind blows where it will, but we know it's going to be good and that it will change you. And not just a little bit, but like in every way. And in that way, we'll change the world through you. And that's our hope. That's the hope.